come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got two on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What are we getting on punt? Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino, of course, and Big Blue Nation, which is you, with you for the next hour, taking calls, talking all things Giants. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. As always, Paul and myself will be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, so make sure you include that hashtag Giants chat, and we will share your questions and, of course, comments on the show. Now, as we're broadcasting live from the facility right now, we just came from the field where the Giants are actually participating in their OTA. This is actually OTA number 4, but really kind of OTA number 1. Like, it's a little complicated, right?
It is complicated. There are different portions of the off-season program, and this just happens to be one of them. Let's just disband the numbers and talk about the fact that the Giants are out on the practice field in their helmets in a non-contact practice.
Right, and they're allowed 10 OTAs in regard to practice, and all of them are non-contact. Of course, until we get into training camp, which will be a lot of fun. But I don't want to say it's breaking news, but I think much anticipated in regard to the vision of how this Giants offensive line is going to pan out. And I'll let you kind of explain what you saw out there on the practice field today.
Well, you know, again, the depth chart doesn't mean a whole lot during OTAs, and Coach Coughlin will tell us that as soon as the OTAs are over and he meets with the media, he'll say it really doesn't mean anything at all. But when you saw the first team starting offensive line out there, you saw a configuration that had Eric Flowers at left tackle, Marshall Newhouse at right tackle. You saw Weston Richburg at center, which we expected. We also saw Justin Pugh at left guard, which was somewhat expected. And then we also saw Jeff Schwartz and John Jerry switching off, taking some snaps at right guard with the starting offensive line. So if that is any indication as to how the Giants would like to proceed going through the rest of this offseason, it is a bit of surprise in that Newhouse, who I think everybody pretty much thought was a veteran free agent who was signed to enhance depth to be the third tackle, the swing tackle, if you will. Well, consequently, after the injury to Will Beatty, it looks like at the moment they're considering him as a potential starting right tackle. And yeah, that's news.
That's news, but I think more exciting, more interesting, Paul, is the fact that Giants have the faith and the trust in a rookie starting at Eli Manning's blind side.
The U.
Yeah.
The U.
The U.
You knew where that was coming from.
Of course. But if I was on with Lance yesterday, and I do have some concerns in regard to putting a rookie at that left tackle position, Manning, Eli, no pun intended, Manning, Eli Manning's blindside. That, to me, that's bigger news. Were you anticipating, when the news broke with Beatty, were you anticipating Flowers to take over that position?
I thought it was probably the best of the three options that the Giants had, because I really thought that they were going to keep Pugh at right tackle. And if they did that and had Schwartz and Jerry at the guards and Richburg at center, you're basically talking about four guys along that five-man front who would be in their familiar spots, because Richburg is a center by trade anyway, even though he played guard as a rookie. So I would have thought that that would have been, I don't know, the most logical. I don't know if that's the way to phrase it, but I think that would have upset the apple cart the least in terms of familiarity with positions. And to do that, it would have meant plugging in Flowers at left tackle and telling the number 9 pick in this draft, guess what, pal? You're jumping into the deep end of the pool. Start swimming because we need you immediately. And I did think that was probably the best of the three ways to go. They are going that way. But nonetheless, the surprise is that Pugh is still going inside and Newhouse at the moment is working outside. It's an interesting move because, as it stands now, it would seem to me that Jeff Schwartz would then be the third tackle if they were forced to have to move guys around and somebody got hurt. They don't have right now an emergency tackle or a third left tackle or a swing tackle, I should say, who can play both of the tackle spots. So they leaving themselves a little skimpy there if this were to turn out to be the way they go.
Well, some thought that maybe they would put Pugh in the left tackle position. You never thought that was an option.
I thought it was a possibility, but I didn't like it very much.
And why?
Well, again, because of the familiarity with where the guys played last year, my feeling was that even though Pugh played left side in college at Syracuse, he started at right tackle for the Giants during his first two NFL seasons. And my feeling on that was, look, don't mess with that. You think Flowers has the physical tools to play left tackle anyway. Live with the growing pains. Live with the rookie mistakes. Throw him out there. Let him try to pancake people. Let him try to smash people. And just let Pugh concentrate on playing the position that he's played for the last 2 years. That would have been my philosophy in that regard. Although, again, coming out of college, I thought Flowers would be a better right tackle than a left tackle. The Giants scouts believe he can be a dynamite left tackle. Well, we're going to find out, and we're going to find out right away.
Another thing we discussed yesterday, and again, you're tuning into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, of course, you. We're going to get to your phone calls in a hot second, 201-939-4513. We just came from the Giants OTA and talking about how this offensive line may pan out. Now, keep in mind, this is not etched in stone. This is only OTA number one for these guys. They still have nine more to follow before training camp opens. But it is interesting that this is what they went with from the get-go. And we're talking about Eric Flowers, Justin Pugh, Rich Berg at center, Schwartz, and then Marshall Newhouse at the right tackle position. One thing that Lance and I talked about yesterday, Paul, curious to get your thoughts on this as well, is possibly the importance of putting Schwartz next to Flowers, to having more of a veteran, a savvy veteran leader who's been around the league, has played more years than Pugh, but obviously that's not the case. Your thoughts on putting Pugh on the left guard position?
Pugh played on the left side at Syracuse, and Jeff Schwartz proved during his stay in Kansas City that he was much more comfortable at right guard. And he's told us that time and time again when asked and pushed, I'd rather be at right guard. So put him at right guard. I don't see that as an issue.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go with the calls. Another quick little hit here in regard to Victor Cruz. This is some other good news that we saw while we were out there today, and that is Victor Cruz off to the side doing a lot and looking good. Right, Paul?
He's looking really good. I described him as fluid when I popped it up on my Twitter page. He was running ghost routes, nothing fancy. Nothing real deep, not in a full sprint, but, you know, small 5, 10, 15-yard routes, a lot of out routes I saw. I did see him change direction. I did see him pivot some. I did not see any indication. And, again, he's going at a jogging speed. We're not talking about, you know, all out now. We're talking about just a very leisurely type Sunday jog kind of thing. But fluid, looking good, catching passes from one of the trainers. Smile on his face, hopping and bopping around. Look, better to see him out there doing that than on a bike, you know?
Absolutely. And there's some hefty expectations for him coming into the season. I mean, there's Giants fans out there, Paul, I'm sure as you know, that are hoping that he's going to be ready season game one. Not sure if maybe he'll start off on the pup and we won't see him until game seven, but nonetheless, some big expectations, so that's good news. Also, I just want to throw out the dates for some of the other OTAs that are going to be taking place. Obviously today, May 27, 28, 29, June 1st, 2nd, 4th, 8th, 9th, 11th, 12th. And then Giants will also have their mandatory minicamp June 16th through the 18th.
There's one other thing we should tell the folks. JPP, not here, but a voluntary OTA, so he doesn't have to be anyway. In fact, he can't be on the field if he's not signed or hasn't signed an injury waiver. So that's not such a big deal. But it is important to note that Nat Burhe was on the side with the trainers and not working on the field. They've switched his number, by the way. He's number 29 now, no longer 34. So don't know what that's about. We'll find out when the coach finally talks to us later on after practice. Don't know why Burhe was sitting out today. But, you know, a guy like that could probably use every rep he can get.
I'm sure. What did you see? Did you see in regard to playing opposite Landon Collins?
Bennett Jackson was out there.
Okay.
You know, and
who Tom Coughlin is really, really high on.
He showed some really good flashes last year when he came in here as a rookie and then, of course, hurt his knee and had the microfracture surgery. And to this point, I said this during rookie minicamp. I know we didn't get a chance to talk much during those workouts, but if I asked you, who's the guy who underwent microfracture surgery, point him out to me. You probably couldn't do it. He's moving around really well.
Right.
Now, again, they're not hitting. And they're not in full pads, and, you know, it's about 11 to 15 pounds of football equipment when a guy's fully dressed and ready, locked and loaded to go. So it's a little different, but all good signs nonetheless for Bennett Jackson. Let's see, is there anything else I should say that we saw out there today? Yeah, you know what? There was something else I saw that I continue to like. Lacoste, the tight end, the free agent out of Illinois, who I ranted and raved about during the course of rookie minicamp. Once again, out there today catching passes, looking very smooth. I like the way he looks the ball in. And he reaches for the ball, softly cradles it in his hands when it comes in. Doesn't show any signs of fighting the ball. And you know what I'm talking about. Guys who catch it against their bodies. Guys who kind of, they fuss with it when they catch it. They don't catch it clean. Lacoste catches the ball clean. I like this kid.
Again, Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, looking at your Twitter feed. This is from Big Dash 07088, Flowers at left tackle, breath of fresh air, hashtag Giants chat. Obviously really excited that first-round rookie is getting an opportunity to come in and win that job and play that position. George DeJesus wants to know, is there some news in regard to Giants maybe going out and signing a free agent, somebody like Jake Long or something like that? Do you feel that the guys that are in-house, that this is going to be the squad, do you think they'll be adding some more talent to this offensive line unit?
I think odds are they're probably going to go with what they have and try to coach these guys up and see if they can make this work. I do think that Jerry Reese has done his due diligence and probably investigated Jake Long, who, again, is coming off of a knee, so I don't even know if he's physically ready. Haven't seen him going on any visits anywhere. Anthony Collins, another guy a lot of people talk about. Justin Blaylock at guard is a guy people are talking about because he's out on the street. But I suspect that if the Giants were really interested in one of those guys, they probably would have them in here now, sooner than later, to get them used to the system, to get them used to these guys. If they didn't bring them in here now, when they're starting these OTAs, chances are they're probably not looking to bring these guys in. And by the way, we should mention one other thing, Anita. Newhouse had a cup of coffee with the Green Bay Packers before he went to Cincinnati and landed with the Giants. That's important to note because Coach McAdoo was there with the Packers. So this move probably has something to do with McAdoo's evaluation of his comfort zone, given that Newhouse has played tackle with him before at some level of play. Of course, McAdoo was a quarterback's coach when he was in Green Bay. So you got to remember that. This is not necessarily a shot out of left field to put the veteran at right tackle today.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's start with your calls. We start line three, Nick, calling in, of course, from New York. Nick, you're up first. What you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon.
Welcome.
I'm surprised to hear that they're putting Flowers at left tackle because, Paul, you have mentioned this before. You have stated that a left tackle should be a good technician, and that's something that most draft experts have cited Flowers, that he needs to work on his technique. Now, I would think that, okay, they're going to try it at first, but I think the better option would be to flip Newhouse and Flowers. Newhouse, as you said, he played a couple of years in Green Bay. He had a cup of coffee last year with Cincinnati. He was not good in Cincinnati, but I think that might have been a product of their offensive system. They like to throw the ball deep, but under McAdoo's system, he might do better, and McAdoo is familiar with him.
The only answer I have for you there is that I think the Giants have a tremendous amount of confidence in Pat Flaherty, the offensive line coach. And they think that he's going to be able to coach up Flowers and get him ready to play left tackle. They love Flowers' skill set, and so do I. But you're right. Usually the mauler and the power guy is your right tackle guy. And your left tackle guy, because he's got to protect the blind side, has to be a little bit better with his technique. Although I like power guys there too. I'm not a big fan of finesse guys. I like power offensive linemen. I just think this is really going back to Flats. The Giants love Flats. He's a terrific offensive line coach. He's done a lot of great work with a lot of guys. In fact, you could say he's probably had a number of guys overachieve over the last decade at the position. And so I believe they're going to give Flowers a chance. Remember, he's the ninth overall pick in the draft. Like Anita likes to say, you got to throw those guys in right away. They got to start sooner rather than later. And I think they're going to give Flats every opportunity to coach this kid up. And quite honestly, you said it yourself, Newhouse didn't exactly fare well in his early NFL career. Do you want to take a chance on him not faring so well at left tackle? Maybe it's the lesser of two evils to put him on the right side.
So you're
possibly, but he did play left tackle for Green Bay.
Yes, yes.
And he played left tackle in a playoff game in Green Bay the last time the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he matched up pretty well against OCU Mignore.
I think that's why he was a good swing tackle for them. It made sense for him to be the backup at both spots. And now it looks like maybe they're gonna ask him to start.
So, of all the options, I agree. You have Flowers, you try him out. If he doesn't work out, you can always flip him. It's not like Newhouse will need.
Hey, nothing's in stone. It's only OTAs.
Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Okay. Paul, I want you to comment on this. This is something that I shared on the show yesterday, and you've been covering guys in the NFL a lot longer than I have. But one thing that I do hear from guys who make the transition, regardless of what system they come from, whether it's University of Miami, Alabama, systems that really translate into the NFL because of the system that they run, trying to make that transition seamless, you still hear offensive linemen talk about moves that they weren't even aware existed, style play, skill set, technique that they had no clue about, regardless of how good they are, regardless of what system they come from, that it is a learning curve. It's a 1 or 2 year learning curve. And if this is how the Giants are going to move forward with Flowers at that left tackle position, how concerned are you in regard to, we know that now if he's going to be at that left tackle position, he's going to be going up against some of the best defensive linemen, defensive ends in the NFL who thrive on moves that Flowers hasn't even remotely experienced in college. How does that situation concern you in any regard?
There's only one way to combat that. If you know that he's way behind on the technique scale, he's going to have to use brute force and power. That's the only way to do it. Now, he went for 37 reps at the combine and was by far the strongest offensive lineman in this draft. So what you have to do, if you're going to be sloppy in your technique or you're not going to be able to recognize some things, what do? You just maul people. That's all. It's simple. If you can't get the stuff down, you can't learn it quick enough, you just use your physical power, size, strength, and you just get in people's way, and it can be as ugly as can be, but keep them off your quarterback. And that's probably another reason, Anita, why the Giants feel like Flowers can handle this so quickly, because he does have the girth, the size, the frame. He can get in people's way. It doesn't have to be a pretty block. He can get in your way.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line one. Abdul is calling in from Minnesota. Abdul, you're next up here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, guys. First of all, Anita, I listened to your show on Saturday on ESPN. It was great. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Are you done with MSG doing the Giant shows, or are you still doing that also?
No, we're gonna be rocking and rolling here.
Don't be spreading bad rumors.
I love that show.
We wanted
to make sure.
Believe it or not, I do need to give a shout-out to our broadcasting department. Folks might not be aware of this, but the Giants broadcast anywhere between 9 to 11 shows out of this facility each and every week during the season. So we're here we're here all week. My days here are Wednesday and Thursday. We're here all week shooting, recording, and all of us being a part of a number of the shows that go out. So, I'm going to continue to be with the Giants facility and covering the Giants this coming season and really excited about it. So thank you, though. Thank you for inquiring.
I tried to trade it to the Jets, but they wouldn't have you.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Is that what you did? Your life would be miserable,
I'm
Paul.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
That's great news.
Thank you.
I'm surprised that they put Flowers on the left side, only because I thought they'd want continuity. And if and when BD comes back, what's going to happen to Flowers? Are they going to flip him back to right side? I thought they'd want to keep him the same position all year.
You're thinking too far ahead. They're thinking maybe November for BD. Don't even worry about that today. Come on now. Hey, man, relax, okay? It'll sort itself out. Trust me.
Fair enough. And also, yesterday people were talking about Pugh and his short arms. I don't, like, I've seen Pugh. He doesn't have, like, T-Rex arms. You know what I mean? Like, he has, I don't understand why an extra inch here or there could really make a break.
Oh, God.
A tackle.
There's a joke there somewhere.
Well, wait, Abdul, I do want to set you up for this, because whenever Paul and I do talk about that criticism that is out there on a national level about Pugh, one good point that Paul makes is the way that his low center of gravity, right? He technically outperforms the short arm deficit. Is that the best? That's the best way.
Absolutely.
It's the best way I could put it. Yes, he's got short arms. No, it doesn't bode well for him at a tackle position in the NFL. But his technique and his low center of gravity and how he's able to punch, and the power that he uses offsets that deficit.
Good leverage guy too.
There you go.
You know what it means? Basically, it means he's got to be more technically sound, because a guy who's got longer arms can afford to be a little sloppy, given that, oh, I can keep you out. I can circumvent you around the pocket because I've got longer arms to push you. That's all it means. He has less margin for error. Big whoop-de-doo.
All right. It just seems like a short arm thing is something that's new that's come up, after people over-evaluate players, a short, a fast 40 time or something. It seems like it's over criticism. That doesn't make sense to me. Back in the day, no one talked about long arms, short arms. Either you could block or not block.
Thank you.
The film showed what you could do. I think it's important just to get, whoever's going to play in place right now and have our defensive linemen just thrown at them. I think it'd be great. Let's get JPP signed as soon as possible and have him do all the moves possible on Flowers. Just abuse Flowers with, speed rush, pass rush, power rush, and just throw him in there and just, overwhelm him hopefully he can handle it, because I think the guy has skills. He's strong, he has good feet, he holds a little bit sometimes, but I think with a lot of practice and time, he'll do well. And one last thing, you guys were talking about Adrian Peterson yesterday, and I live in Minnesota, and people are sick of him. They're just, I don't think they want him here anymore. They were willing to welcome him back, and then he just keeps on, stepping on people's toes here. Now he's not here at OTAs. It just is not going well here. He's trying to be the victim here, where he's clearly not the victim. And people in Minnesota are, I think, which is kind of weird, because they loved him here. I think people are getting kind of sick of him and want him out of here.
Yeah, I'm with you. And again, Abdul, thank you for the phone call, and thank you for the compliment in regard to my Saturday show. Really appreciate you tuning in. I mentioned a report came out yesterday. Jason Lockenfor is reporting that Adrian Peterson would consider retirement if the Vikings. Yeah. It's on CBSSports.com. And so my comment,
As in quit? Done?
As in Barry Sanders.
Really?
Yeah.
Not just sit out, but done.
Done. He doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to play for the organization.
I didn't see that.
So why cut off your nose to spite your face? Right? Well, if a team like the Dallas Cowboys is willing to give up a 2016 first-round draft pick, I don't know what they would have to do salary cap-wise, because I know he's scheduled to make $12.75 million in 2016. I think that there's a lot that needs to happen in order for Adrian Peterson to end up on another team. But the Dallas Cowboys obviously is a team that has been speculated, has been since I was out in Arizona for the Super Bowl. That was like the talk while we were out there.
Mm-hmm.
The Arizona Cardinals themselves, those are the the Oakland Raiders, I want to say. But regardless, that was the topic of conversation. But so why keep a cancer in your locker room? Why keep a cancer in regard to a city that really is kind of fed up with him? And why not try to get something for him? That's what I don't.
Usually, in situations like this, it's been my experience that teams will get rid of a guy before training camp starts because they don't want that thing to fester like a bad seed.
Exactly.
So, camp is still a couple of months away. They've still got time to play their cards and to see what kind of price they can get. But I would tend to agree with you. If it's really that bad now, he's probably got to go.
Monitoring Twitter, hashtag Giants chat. This is from Marquise Haley. The Giants will not be on Hard Knocks. Sigh of relief. I'm sure. Sigh of relief for the Mara family as well. I mean,
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, listen, anybody who's really serious about contending and competing for a championship, you know, I don't know if I'm a coach, if I'm an owner, if I'm a general manager, you know, as fun, as much as I love, and I love Hard Knocks. I mean, I watch every episode, I DVR it, like, I'm in it, I love it, I watch it.
Okay.
But if...
I wouldn't
want those cameras under my facility or my roof.
No.
Kind of. So anyway, what's being reported is that
they might catch you doing your makeup too.
That's right. So I do my makeup
you,
here.
You
at the
don't
facility.
Want to see that.
I do. I come in like with no makeup, and then I'm putting on my face. I'm gonna go put on my face for the show. So anyway, the Houston Texans apparently is the team. It's being reported right now that will be a part of Hard Knocks. J.J. Watt is always a hoot. Arian mm-hmm. Foster is very interesting. Bill O'Brien is a head coach. I think that's pretty cool. So the Houston Texans.
Shout out to Kevin Cooper, who used to work with the Giants PR staff, who was in charge of media relations now with the Texans. If they wind up doing the show with them, you'll see Kevin a lot. He's a good guy. So nice.
So I want to say that the Bills, Washington, and Cleveland also were considered.
Okay.
But I think it's a good idea that they didn't do Cleveland with all that Johnny Manziel's coming off of. Rex Ryan and that crew had already done Hard Knocks with the Jets. They knew what time it was. They didn't really want it.
No.
So anyway, just filling you in. 201-939-4513. If you're just tuning in, we're broadcasting Big Blue Kickoff Live here at the facility while the Giants players are practicing right now. OTAs, and as Paul Zatino pointed out, in regard to the offensive line, and there's a lot of talk with Lance and I yesterday in regard to what to expect, what could we expect, and how this offensive line was going to materialize, and what the Giants wanted to do moving forward and really with the get-go. And it is Eric Flowers at the left tackle position, Pugh at left guard, Richburg at center, Jeff Schwartz at right guard, and Marshall Newhouse at right tackle. That is the five that the Giants organization came out with today here at OTAs. Just FYI. Let's continue with our calls. We go to Ernest calling in from Connecticut. Ernest, you're up.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
One of the things that is really confusing me with the offensive line situation, Flowers is going to have to, adjust, and it's going to be kind of tough for him coming out of college. And giving him that probation period when Tom Coughlin is, you know, he's on the line. You know, I don't think if they don't make the playoffs this year, he could probably be gone. So I don't know if he has time left to be having a left tackle, a serious position as that, to be, you know, trying to test and find out what's going to work. I think that those times are over with. So that's a very, you know, critical position and, you know, putting a quarterback at risk like that. Now, you don't want to have things backfiring in your face. You're putting a rookie left tackle there who could break down and is not sound yet, and your quarterback can get hurt in the process, that can happen at any, you know, with any lineman. I'm not saying that. But you want to put your best lineman out there to protect the quarterback. This guy should be learning. And if that happens, if Eli gets hurt, or if this guy starts off bad, and then if the continuity doesn't work, when you try to switch him back over to the other side, this can be a disaster. So what I'm thinking is that they should go out and try to get a experienced lineman and let this guy grow on the other side, on the right side, and maybe Coughlin's. They can get another contract. So I don't like what they're doing. I really don't.
Ernest, thank you for the phone call. Your thoughts on replying to Ernest. And also, I want to throw this in here in regard to Twitter. This is from we/HiCLIC. By the time this training camp is over, don't be surprised to see Bobby Hart starting. The kid's a stud at guard at least. Hashtag Knoll Nation.
Okay, first things first, we discussed the move of Flowers earlier, and really what it comes down to, all the different options that they could have used there. You got Flowers potentially as one of them, Newhouse potentially as another one, and been there, done that in terms of his NFL early in his career. It didn't work out that great. And then move Pugh over there. I'm guessing you probably would have preferred Pugh at left tackle and Flowers at right tackle. To me, that would have been the more palatable option as opposed to throwing Newhouse at left tackle. But, again, what did we say? Flowers has tremendous size. He's got the frame. He's got the power. He's going to be able to overcome a number of his mistakes just because of his physicality. And between that and Flats coaching him up, the Giants have decided that is the least of all the potential evils, and that's the way they seem to want to go. I don't have a problem with that. In terms of Hart, Florida State kid, played a couple of different positions, 3.5 seasons of ball at a big-time program, played some tackle, played a little bit of guard. I think the Giants are extremely very happy to get him in the seventh round. I think that he's the kind of guy who could potentially challenge for some real reps potentially next season. I think this first year is more of a wait and see and kind of learn and sit back and watch. I don't think you want to, you know, push a seventh-round pick into the starting lineup right away. But you know what? I think they did the right thing by picking him up because he's a big, big man. Big, strong, powerful, solid base, not very athletic. That's why he's going to be a guard instead of a tackle, okay? Not very athletic. But he's really got a good boxcar frame and a good base to him. So I do think there's potential with the kid.
We just got this this text from John Schmelk, who, of course, is out there on the field. We did get a tweet from someone who said, I can't believe Paul Dottino is actually inside hosting a Big Blue Kickoff live show while there's practice going on. That's a first.
Didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
We were
well,
due.
Well, you did. You had a choice.
What was I going
to
do?
You wanted to host the show, be honest.
So I'm talking to the fans. Fans are cool. I already saw 40 minutes of practice.
So Schmelk is out there on the practice field. This is a text he just sent us. Do you see this?
Yes.
Apparently, Jerry is in at right guard, and at the current time they are rotating Jeff Schwartz and Marshall Newhouse at the right tackle position.
Oh, that's new now.
Right. And so this was something that that was brought up yesterday. I want to say somebody tweeted us yesterday inquiring about Jeff Schwartz and his ability to play the tackle position.
Well, wait a minute. Am I reading that right? The one that I got looks like it says right guard Jerry Schwartz rotate, comma Newhouse right tackle. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I think that means Newhouse is the right tackle. Schwartz and Jerry
Schwartz
are swapping.
Schwartz and Jerry
off,
are okay.
Which
well,
is what we said
that
at the
makes
beginning.
More sense.
Which is what we said at the beginning.
That makes more sense.
Right. Now, the other thing that I just saw.
But I do want you to comment on that in regard to your thoughts in Jeff Schwartz playing the tackle position.
In an emergency, he's proven that he can do it. But honestly, I like him better at guard. I think at right guard, when he was in Kansas City, and he played half a season at right guard, he proved to be a very effective run blocker. And that right now is what the Giants need to get going. You know, I don't want to fuss with that. That's the position where in his early NFL career, he seemed to perform the best. And having said that, you know, we always talk about get the best five out there. I think he's one of the best five, and I think he fits in that spot very, very well. I would not want to move him, to be honest with you.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line four. Steve's calling in from D.C. Steve, welcome.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Listen, you know, about this lineup, I actually, you know, I'm one of the few people who I think, you know, it's always nice to have a miracle dropout, you know, or free agency somewhere, you know, cap casualty of some sort, but that's not like that. I actually think I like the bodies, and I'm going to have to trust Jerry Reese and the rest of the coaching staff that we have, you know, some bodies that can get the job done. So I like the lineup with Flowers at the left tackle, you know, and a few inside of guard, Schwartz and Newhouse at the outside. So to me, what that does is not only gives a rookie who, you know, really doesn't know any better that he's, you know, taking a monumental task at left tackle. He's already taking the jump to the pro. So apparently, you know, at some point we wanted him to go on that side anyway, so I think that's the way to go.
Okay.
I also like the fact that it leaves the opportunity to bring Beatty in later on, you know, if he comes back healthy, if, you know, so we can also rotate him in when he comes back healthy, and we can hopefully get, you know, Flowers some time at right tackle if we see Beatty is coming back strong and healthy. What do you think? What do you guys think about that?
Well, once again, you're talking about Beatty possibly getting back sometime in November. Now, by then, who knows exactly how the Giants' offensive line is going to be playing? Who knows if any of those guys are going to be injured? You know, they may have to do a whole kind of new shuffle when Beatty comes back. If everybody's going well, you know what? Maybe Beatty doesn't get back into the lineup right away. I mean, you know how these things go. It's how is the line performing at the time when you have this surplus of people? And then you figure out, okay, do we juggle this? I don't think you go in with preconceived notions, especially in May, as to what you're going to do with the line in November. I don't see the point even discussing it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a huge speculation, Paul, but at some point, you know, Beatty is going to come back healthy at some point. We would hope that he's healthy enough to compete somewhere.
I can't tell you he will. Seriously, and if the guys are playing well, don't mess with it. I mean, why are we even talking about this?
Well, you hope that everything is a huge success, but I'm saying the only thing I'm saying is it does leave the contingency plan that if Flowers is not playing well, say late in the season or whatever, you know, having him on that left side, I think, is just the best way to go.
That's cool.
So anyway, listen, we're going to really talk about defense anyway. And I wanted to know if you could just, you know, kind of give me, you know, a little background on what you're seeing on these players and, more importantly, the linebackers. So I want to know what, you know, how JPP and Beeson and Prince looked out there, because obviously they're coming off injuries, and Cooper Taylor. So if you can tell me a little bit about how they look, Paul, I really appreciate it. And touch on these linebackers, because that's my biggest concern going into the season. That's all I got.
Okay.
I appreciate you guys taking my call, and I'll listen off there.
Steve, thank you for the phone call. Before you do move on to your next topic, I do want to say this, and I understand. I know you're like, why are we discussing this now? We don't even know what's going to happen in November when hopefully Beatty's back by November, first week, second week, whatever the case may be. I do think it's an interesting storyline that is going to develop, because hypothetically speaking, let's say the Giants have Marshall Newhouse at that left tackle position. That's a no-brainer. Beatty's healthy. Beatty's back. It's his position. With Eric Flowers, I think if let's say hypothetically speaking, Paul, Eric Flowers comes out and just like tears it up this year. Has a phenomenal year. He's a first-round draft pick. He's your future in your offensive line. Beatty comes back. I think there's more of a storyline and more of a what do we do if Flowers has just been unreal for the season as opposed to, let's say, Newhouse.
You do what you do to win games at that point.
I'm with you, but I'm just – you're asking, why are fans even calling in and asking about this scenario? We're not even there yet. The season hasn't even started yet. I understand what you're saying, but what I'm telling you is – Flowers at that position, if he comes out and he plays like insane ball, I mean, he brings it like he's just,
and I'm
he's
not touching him.
He's epic. Exactly. So it potentially could be an interesting storyline that could develop. That's why fans are calling in.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He
asked us about defense. JPP, as far as I know, is not here today. Remember, he's unsigned at the moment. He's got the franchise tag and did not sign an injury waiver to participate in anything on the field. So according to the NFL rules, he can't do that. So that's somebody I haven't seen. Beeson. Out there seems to be okay, but again, non-contact drills. I mean, we're not exactly playing real football out there today. So I can't really tell you much other than he seems to be moving around pretty well. And you know, that's it. Safeties, interesting. When I was out there earlier, Bennett Jackson was doing some of the work, and then subsequent to me coming inside to do the program, the Twitter folks, the reporters still out at practice, said that Cooper Taylor was actually lining up with Collins, taking some snaps. So I'm curious to see how that worked out. Again, I wish I had a camera that we could watch practice as we were doing the show. Can we make that happen, please?
Maybe. So, I think we're going to have to do that during training camp.
Yeah. So in any event, I'm a little bit lost on that right now because I can't tell you what Cooper Taylor did today. And the other question was about, who was the other fellow he asked about? He asked about JPP, Beeson, Taylor. Did he have one more guy, Greg? Did he ask about four defensive players or just three? I'm sorry, I forgot the other guy. But in any event, here's the thing I want you to keep in mind, folks, please. And I'm not trying to be wise here, but these are OTAs, okay? There's no contact, no hitting, okay? Everything they're doing is very, very simple. It's less than flag football. The only things that you can really tell are how fluid a guy moves. In a case of a cruise, you know, coming back from injury, you want to see the kind of routes he's running. How smooth is he? Does he look like he's favoring the situation? It's hard to tell anything outside of the skill positions. Because here, you know, you could see how a corner's playing the ball. You can see how a wide receiver attacks the ball. Does he wait for it to come to him? Does he fight it when he's catching it? Does the quarterback throw the ball well? You can see how the quarterbacks throw. There are some things that you can see and you can actually make an evaluation on and judge. But the truth of the matter is, the stuff on the interior line play, any of the positions that really involve a lot of pounding, you know, the front seven on defense, you know, the fullbacks, the offensive linemen, you really can't really say anything about those guys.
I mean, they don't even have the pads on yet.
No, nothing. I mean, they're out there in shirts and shorts. So, heck, I could even go out there and compete with them right now. They're not pounding anybody.
Really? I don't think so. Let's continue with our calls. 201-939-4513. You're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, hashtag Giants Chat. Monitoring Twitter as well. Let's go to line three. Shakes is calling in from Maryland. Shakes, what is up?
Hey, what's going on, Anita?
How are you?
What's going on, P-Dot?
Hey, good to talk to you, man.
Same here. Before I get into the OTAs part, I want to ask you a question, Anita. Because last week I said you had lost me probably like a year ago, and you've been doing good lately. Now, yesterday's show, you made a comment about Byron Jones maybe showing up something and then having Richburg at right guard. No, I don't want to do anything but have Richburg at center. That's where we drafted him at, second-round draft choice, best center in the draft last year. Let's just have him play his natural position and stop talking about, oh, he's struggling. He's struggling because he's out of position. Just saying.
Did you beat up
on Richburg?
I did not beat up on Richburg. I've just been hearing great. I like to have as many options as possible. That's where I was going with that. It wasn't a knock on Richburg.
I've been hearing great things. Richburg at center. I'm sorry to cut you off, but don't boot out Richburg at center. If Barry Jones showing something, have him at guard. But don't do that. Don't do that.
I'm staying away. Please, go right ahead.
I know you are.
Listen, this is an offensive lineman. This is an offensive lineman who won offensive lineman of the year in the Canadian Football League as a center. So it's nice to have some options. That's all I'm saying.
Can I ask you a question though? Real quick, of course, you know I have a shakedown show. I want to ask you if I can get an interview on the show from you.
Sure.
Okay, look, I'm going to follow you on Twitter. Follow me back, and we can DM each other, and we can discuss the details.
Okay. Cool? All right. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, Giants?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Okay.
Now, Newhouse at right tackle is going to get Eli killed. Telling y'all that right now. So I hope that they are just trying this out, because from what I've seen from Newhouse and what the facts is that separated shoulder that Aaron Rodgers suffered, it was because of him. So I don't want to do anything with him but have him as backup. Shoot, I even want to cut him by the time we get to the 53. I do not like Newhouse. So if we depend on him to be a starter, we're going to get Eli killed.
He did start for 2 years with the Packers, okay? Remember that. It's not like he's a total non-entity.
And he was what, average at best? Just saying. And
He's with Coach Flats now. Remember that. Give Flats some credit. Coach Flats has him now. Let's see what he can do with him.
Okay, we'll see. I'm not too happy about that. I like Flowers at left tackle, though, because I feel like we drafted him to be a left tackle of the future. Our left tackle goes down now. The future is now. So let's go. I also wanted to say about Cruz recovery. I said this on the show before. I said it was kind of like the David Wilson thing. I'm kind of like better safe than sorry. But if somebody hit me up on Twitter and said, well, you don't see the process that he's showing on Twitter. And no, I'm not looking at his Twitter pages, and I'm not looking at all that and seeing how he's recovering. But if he is moving well and he's ready to go, then so be it. I'm happy. I'm ecstatic. But, again, I'm on the more side of a better safe than sorry. Last thing I'm going to say about this is Jake Long, man. I think we should give him a shot if he's proven to be healthy. If he can come in and pass the physical and all that stuff and show something on the field, let's give him a shot. Hey, camp body, more competition, the better. Thank y'all for taking my call. And Anita, I will be hitting you up on Twitter.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, Shakes. Appreciate it.
All right.
I mean, obviously, look, the Giants aren't knocking on his door. There's no the other 31 teams aren't necessarily knocking on his door. So what is the latest on Jake Long? What have you heard? Have you heard anything?
My understanding is that Jake Long's knee was pretty messed up. And, you know, whether or not he could even pass a physical today at the end of May is questionable. So I'm sure the Giants and other teams have done due diligence and checked on him. Now, you know, I don't see or hear or read anything about Jake Long taking visits with anybody right now, which probably means, and I'm going strictly by logic here, we've been doing this a long time, both her and I, usually when you don't hear about a player of that nature not going on any visits, it means he knows himself he probably can't pass the physical. So he's not wasting his time, you know, going on some kind of concert tour. He's going to wait until he knows he can pass a physical, and then he's going to entertain an offer, and he's going to go into somebody's camp and say, okay, I'd like to try out and see what happens. That's my suspicion, just based on the way these things usually work.
All right, let's continue with our calls. Let's go to Lynn in Maryland. Lynn,
wow.
Haven't heard from you in a while. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Great.
Good to be talking to you.
Again,
a great day to be a Giants fan. We got OTA starting. It's you know, we're getting closer to the season. That's great. It's been a long winter. Time to play some football. I don't know what depresses me more, the thought of John Jerry starting or Marshall Newhouse starting. Enough said on those two guys. Let me move on.
I thought it was a great day to be a Giants fan. He had
to
go
Lynn,
there. What are you doing, Len?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're contradicting yourself here.
You know, the Beatty injury, you know, got me down a little bit. I thought we had the five guys, and now we're struggling to find that fifth guy, and we're hoping that Schwartz as well. And while we're on Schwartz, Paul and Anita, let me ask you a question. What position was Schwartz playing when the Giants signed him to that multi-year, $35, $40 million contract? What position was he playing with the Kansas City Chiefs?
They signed him on the basis of what he put on tape as a right guard for the Chiefs.
Enough said about Schwartz. Play him at right guard. If that's what we saw, and that's why we gave him the kinds of money that we gave him for the years that we gave it to him, stick him at right guard.
And right now, that's, again, for folks that might just be tuning in regard to what the Giants came out with this afternoon at OTA, Eric Flowers at left tackle, Pugh at left guard, Richburg at center, Jeff Schwartz at right guard for you, Lynn, okay?
Yeah,
and
there you go.
And Newhouse, at right tackle.
All right, let me say something. Well, again, in my opinion, and I guess I'm agreeing with Shakes partly here. He's usually right, you know, right on with some things. I don't want to see Newhouse out there. I don't want to see Newhouse out there. I don't want to see John Jerry starting for this team. In fact, Paul, former starters on your team. This is my opinion. But I firmly believe this. Former starters on your team don't make good backups on your team. If John Jerry isn't good enough to start, and we think maybe he's going to be a backup, I don't want him as a backup. I certainly don't want him as a starter either. Let me say something about Flowers. Hey, terrific. Flowers at left tackle, first day of OTAs, and the guy is sitting out there at a position that he played in college, the ninth pick in the draft. This is why we got this guy. I'm sorry Beatty got hurt. I want him to come back. I really do. But Flowers out there, I'm telling you, it's really exciting to me. And Paul, I think you hit the nail on the head very early on the show when you said about Flowers. Hey, listen, I don't know about this technique thing. I'm not that much of an expert on offensive line play, et cetera. All I know is this guy's got the height, the size, the strength. I don't care what the number is across the across, lining up across from him with a different color jersey on. You just say to him, "Hey, Eric, here's what I want you to do. Pound that guy. Just pound that guy."
6'6", right? 329, according to this morning's roster.
Just, Eric, just pound the guy in the different color uniform across the way from you. The technique will take care of, will take care of itself. Ninth pick in the draft, terrific.
You can cover up some mistakes by mugging people. There's no doubt about that.
He's going to be at left tackle. He's going to be at left tackle on opening night. I mean, what's, barring injury, God forbid, what's going to happen? Who in that training camp is on the other side of the line, our training camp on the other side of the line, is going to give him a problem to the point where we say, "Eric, you're not ready to play left tackle." This guy starts opening night, even when JPP gets there. I mean, I don't think there's anybody on the other side that's going to make him look so on our roster.
You mentioned
make him look so bad.
Len, you just mentioned JPP.
I gotta
put you on the
Len,
pause
thank
button.
You, thank you for the phone call.
He mentioned JPP, and that's actually one really bad thing about JPP not being here, because if he was here, he could really work with Flowers and try to give him some looks. From a guy who's one of the premier pass rushers in this league, he's got speed, he's got size, he's got strength, he's got a lot of moves. Now, of course, there's still non-contact here, but at least he could get with him. And, I remember years ago, and this goes way before your time, Anita, but the Giants had an offensive lineman named Mike Rosenthal. He was out of Notre Dame. And Michael Strahan would tell me all the time that there was not an offensive lineman who gave him more trouble than Mike Rosenthal when he was here with the Giants, and they would go offense on defense. He said, Paul, people underrate him, and I always thought Rosenthal was a very underrated player, but Strahan confirmed it for me, because as Michael was ascending to becoming a true dominant force in the Hall of Fame player that he would eventually become, it was Rosenthal who would give him fits in practice and make him work hard and make him work on his technique and make him learn new things. That stuff can be very, very helpful. So it's a shame that, JPP is not here to help the young kid.
When do you anticipate him to mandatory OTAs?
It's the end of the second week of July as to when that deadline is that he's got to sign his tender. So, it's going to be a while. But, again, no animosity, as I understand it, between him and the organization. So I don't think it's going to be a problem as far as the season's concerned. And JPP, if you've been following him, and I know you follow all these social media things, I understand JPP is kicking butt down
yes.
in Florida.
He's posted, if you want to check out JPP's Twitter feed, he's posted several videos of him training this off season.
Granted,
they're like little, like 1 minute, minute 30, yeah. 45 seconds. But
he's
still,
getting
after
it.
Just to kind of give you an idea of what he's been doing in the offseason. Here's a tweet, hashtag Giants chat from Easy. And Bobby Hart getting a lot of love today, Paul. If Newhouse is getting the first team snaps at right tackle, we need to have Hart get snaps at right tackle also. Have them compete for a starting job.
No, I don't think Hart is a tackle in this league. It doesn't have quite the athleticism that you'd need, especially against speed guys out there, or to be able to get out there and help block on the edge at this level. The game's a lot faster in the NFL than it is in college. The Giants view Hart as a legitimate prospect at guard. Let's let the kid learn that. Getting some of the messages I got earlier is that Hart was working, at some right guard after we already came inside.
Here's another tweet from Weehi CLIC. Paul, what's the defensive line setup with JPP out?
Again, we had to come in, so I couldn't see everything I wanted to see. Ayers would be the starting right defensive end, I believe, in that setup. Demontre Moore coming off of an injury. He had an arm thing. So, he's not going through full bore right now, but you would think that Moore would be at one of the ends and Ayers would be at the other. They could certainly use Selvey in there in a rotation. They could use Kerry Wynn in a rotation. You know, they got guys, okay? They've got players. So don't for 1 second think that the Giants are thin there. They've got numbers.
201-939-4513. Let's try to get in a few more calls before we sign off for the day. Let's go to Charlie calling in from Maine. Charlie, you're up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome.
Hey, Anita. Hey, Paul. Doc.
Well, don't forget Double O, too. I forgot Double O. He's part of that defensive end mix. Don't want to forget about him.
You better put him in there.
Oh, Diggy Zua.
Cut it off on a car. And he's got a knee problem or a leg problem, which is not good.
Yeah, we don't have official word on any of that, so we're just going to stay away from it. We're in the studio and don't have any windows to see practice, so we're not going there right now. We'll try to get that information for you when we can on Giants.com.
Well, I already got it. There's a lot on Twitter already. Not saying what it is, but it wasn't good. He got carted off, so he didn't walk off. He got carted off, which is not a good sign. Anyway, it doesn't seem like the jinx has left the house yet on this injury front. I hope it has. This is the last one, I hope. On the O-line, just looking at the depth that we have, and it's, you know, I still think our right tackle or our left tackle is still not on this roster yet. I think we need to get a vet from another team, either Chris Clark from Denver. It seems like Denver wants to jettison him because of cap space. The guy from Cincy, left tackle, he's got a heavy cap hit, so they seem like they want to get rid of him. So there's going to be some left tackles out there pretty soon. And I hope JR really picks somebody up because we have no depth. And just looking at, I know this is early, this is the first OTA, but Jones wasn't even in on the second tier of offensive linemen. He wasn't even in the second tier of offensive linemen. So he's got a long way to go. He's a project, and, you know, people kind of touted him as, you know, he was the all-pro from the CFL, like he was just going to come in and just be a miracle worker.
Why are you burying this kid at the first OTA when, you know, we haven't even been out there to see him work because they started actually doing some snaps really after we got in here? So I'm not going to let you bury this kid for no reason at all, just because of some stuff you read on Twitter. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen.
The second team of the O-line that they put out.
All right, and what did I tell you at the beginning of the show? It means nothing. It means nothing. What they do today, how they line up today means nothing. Tom Coughlin will tell everybody that in the next few minutes when they come off the field. It means nothing. You want to put stock in this stuff right now, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Hey, well,
you want to bury this kid. He was an all CFL lineman. You want to bury this kid. Why? Why?
I said Flowers doesn't mean nothing then at left tackle. That's what you're telling me? Is that what you're telling me, Peter?
No. He's the number 9 pick in the draft. They need a left tackle. The kid's got to play there. Why are you burying an all-CFL center who just got here a few weeks back, and because he's not running with the first team out at an OTA, you want to say he can't play?
No, second team. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but it sounds like you want to bury him. I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood.
No, that's all I'm saying is right now I would have figured he would at least been in with a second team as the starting center, but Dallas Reynolds is right at this moment, and I know it's the first OTA. I'm not saying that's not going to change, but I'm just saying it surprises me that he wasn't in the second tier of offensive line.
I would be surprised if by the end of training camp he's not the second team center on this squad. Let me just put it to you that way. I'd be very surprised.
I would be too.
Okay, we're on the same page.
All
Have
right.
a good day.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Real quick, let's end on this because I am getting a few tweets. This is from Big Dash 07088. Who are the starting linebackers? I know it's a topic we have not hit on today. So what did you see, and who do you think will be?
Didn't see Kennard out there today. Don't know why, but he would be one of them. And then you're going to also start JT Thomas, and you'll start John Beeson, and those will be your three. You know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of health concerns with Beeson. He's got to be able to stay on the field, you know. I had a veteran say to me about a month ago, you know, love John Beeson, love what he brings to the table, but if he goes out opening night against the Cowboys and has 17 tackles, but then gets hurt and can't play for the next 5 weeks, where does that put you? And really, that's That's the ultimate situation that you got to deal with.
Right.
His durability, which is why, you know, Jamil McClain is here. Because
right.
he can help fill out that middle linebacker spot if you need him to. I still think Devon Kennard might be a potential backup at middle linebacker as well. But in any event.
And I'm really big on JT Thomas. I know that, you know, when that topic arises in regard to, you know, who's the most exciting free agent pickup the Giants brought in this season, everyone's in love with Shane Vereen, and rightfully so. I mean, you saw what he was able to do with the New England Patriots and that added dynamic that I think he's going to bring to this backfield. But for me, I'm really excited about JT Thomas. I think he's going to be given an opportunity to compete and start at the linebacker position, and I'm quite excited to see what he can bring to that unit.
He had his career game against the Giants in Jacksonville last season, and that's one of the reasons the Giants signed him. And if he's going to play that well and that active, you know, all season long, then they got themselves a good player.
Absolutely. All right, so, Paul, some final thoughts before we sign off. And locker room is opened right now, so as soon as we're done, Paul and I will head in there. We'll get some interviews, some of the guys, find out the latest, what happened with the hour that we did miss.
Oh,
And you can tune in to Giants.com, of course, for all the player and post-practice sound. So make sure. And then tomorrow, are you in tomorrow or no?
Tomorrow I am not in. I'm back again on Friday with
you. Okay, so it's Lance and John Schmoke tomorrow here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, and myself and Paul Dottino will be back with you on Friday. But some final thoughts before we sign off.
Just one thought. Folks, it's OTAs, okay? Don't put too much stock into it. There are some things. We're all hungry for Giants news. I get that. It's great to get some crumbs, but this stuff is not prime rib, okay? It's just crumbs on the side of the plate. So take it for what it's worth.
Okay. So, again, stay tuned to Giants.com for all your post-practice sound, and tune in to Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow. Lance Meadow and John Schmelt coming your way. Have a great day, everybody.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35-30.
What a end-up punch.
Touchdown, Giants!